Om Namah Shivaya. Dear listeners of Shaivam.org, the next program is Spiritual Discourse. In this, you are about to listen an overview of Shaivam and Siddhanta. The title is Thirumurai Continuation, presented by Shiva Madhusudanan Kalaichelvam. Thank you. Om Namah Shivaya.
So the first song in the fourth Thirumurai is that song that helped Upper Varman come out of his unbearable pain that he was suffering in his abdomen. The divine act of Shiva which caused him suffer to maybe shed off all that he has earned over his births and to become that completely cleansed and pure soul to propagate Shiva's traditions. So he requests the god of Thiruvadigai Virattanam or Thiruvadigai Kshetram suggested and directed by his elder sister Tilakavadiya, he chants the Panchakshara Mantra, smears the bhasmam that was gifted to him by his sister, and as per her instruction, requests Parameshwara there to relieve him of the pain. Kutrayinavara vilakkagili, kodumai pala seidana nanariyen, yetrai adike, iravum pahalum, piriyadu vananguvan muppoludum. தோற்றாயின் வயிற்றின் அகம்படியே குடரோடு தொடக்கு முடக்கியிட ஆற்றேன் அடியேன் அதிகை கெடில வீரட்டானத்துறை அம்மானே. So Kedilam is the river that flows on the banks of Thiruvadigai. So in this particular Padigam, he refers to Virattanam as that sacred town on the banks of Kedilam. So Ammane, so he requests Shiva as his leader or his father or an elder one and prays to him. This elder supreme soul who is here housed in the sacred town of Thiruvadigai on the banks of Kettilam river, please cure this pain that I am suffering from. This is like enduring the pains of the god of death. This is like the pain that Yama causes, and I'm enduring that. I've only heard of people as to what is the sorrow that one faces when he comes to meet Yama during his last moments, and I think I'm enduring something like that. So you know, I'm not sure what is all the cruel acts of mine that I have done intentionally to get this disease which is causing all this pain. I bow to your feet only. I'm only falling at your feet, and you know, day in and day out without any break, and I've been worshipping you, and please help me to get out of these clutches that are holding me on. Consider me as your slave. I'm your slave who cannot bear this pain, and as a rule, it is a tradition of the master to ensure that his slave does not face any pain. So please come over to cure me of this, relieve me of this pain. That is how he starts. And this request, pleading, crying out from inside and outside is something that is seen as a common trend in most of his padigams. The seventh Thirumurai is that of Chandramurthy Nayanar. And so there are a total of 100 padigams that he has sung. Now what is to be noted here is the 300 odd padigams of Upper and Sambandar and 100 padigams of Sundarar today is what we have got as of now. There are several shrines which are described to have been visited by these people in Shekildar's Periya Puranam when he describes their pilgrimage, the padigams for which we have not got, unfortunately. It is our misfortune that we have lost it, but it is considered by Acharyas that these padigams that we have got is what is required for us at this level. Now that decision is what Parameshwara has taken, and he has chosen Nambi and Arnambi to continue this tradition of only compiling the padigams that he got and managing it with that. As a divine intervention, we have got the padigams of those two temples, and that has been gracefully accepted by our Acharyas today to be chanted along with the Thirumurais here. So 100 padigams chanted by Sundaramurthyar. The first padigam is on the god of Thiruvennai Nallur. Mostly Sundaramurthyar's approach to Shiva is as a close friend of his. Many padigams are dedicated to Thyagaraja Swami of Thiruvaru, and his pilgrimage is very clearly seen in his compositions of what are the places he went one from the other, and mostly his approaches of the Yoga Margam. And so there is always a close affinity with which he commands Shiva and prays to him and all that. In fact, the padigam where he has requested Shiva to grant him the right eye vision after he was blinded, and how at Ekamra Kshetram in Kanchipuram he manages the left vision, he walks his way with one eye, with the sight and with vision in one eye to Thiruvarur and the boundaries of Thiruvarur. He prays, I have visited this great shrine now, and I know you are a close friend of mine. You have always answered my queries. You have always stood by my side. Help me manage my troubles. But now I am here. If you are not going to bless me with the other vision, okay, let me praise you for that. That is the kind of approach that he has got. So, you know, the confidence with which he approached is that of a friend who can share it with you. And the first Padigam, as we all know, starts from Thiruvennai Nallur, where Shiva himself requested him to start the Padigam with that word with which he shouted at Shiva when he claimed a bond of slavery between Sundara's grandfather and himself. So he called him a lunatic, Pittan. And so that is the chosen word by Shiva to start rendering the Thirumurais of Sundara. So Sundaramurtiyar sings, Pitta, Pireshudi Perumane, Arulada, Yattalum Maravade, Ninaikkinren, Manattu Unnai, Vaithai Pennai, Tenpal, Vennanallur Arutturaiyul, Atta, Unakkalai, Ini Allen, Yanalame. Now that I have understood that I belong to you, I am your property and you are my master, what more is there for me to argue or establish? Now I've totally understood that it is only my that's a part, that's my role here as your slave, to be at your command to serve you for the rest of my life. So he calls him Apitan, who wears a crescent moon on his head, and that Shivan who is full of grace, Arulada, he says. So he's just a personification of grace. He's completely of grace, the Karunai that defines Shiva as what he is. And he calls him as that Lord who resides in the Thiruvennai Nallur temple on the banks, which is called as Arutturai, on the river banks there, that is southern banks of Pennai River. So, and how do you think I can forget you ever? So it was like recalling from within Shiva's intervention in his marriage and telling him that you don't have your rights to get married, you are my slave and you'll have to follow me. Probably till the moment Sundaramurtiyar had no remembrance of the bond that he had with Shiva, and with that one strike he was reminded of the bond that he shared with Shiva, and he was brought back to his memories and he says, how is it possible for me to forget you? How can I forget you and be without you? And so by all means, I think of you without forgetting you. I'll never forget you. And having become your slave like before, now I am not going to argue or anything. I'll just follow your words and I'll be your servant always. So this is the kind of margam that he starts with, later on goes on to become a close associate of Parameshwara. And these Nayanmars have also maintained traditions like not going into the sacred town of Thiruvalangadu, because Karaikal Ammayar herself, she never walked inside the town and she walked by her head to enter. So it is that sacred soil. So all these three stood in the boundaries of Thiruvalangadu and have sung. Sundaramurtiyar, when he went to Shirgadi, he maintained the same tradition of not walking into the place where Jnanasambandha Peruman was born and his divine feet has walked all around the town. He thought, I shouldn't walk on that soil on which Sambandhar has walked. So he stood in the boundaries of Shirgadi and had sung about it. So these kind of traditions of following their elders more as an Acharya Sishya Bhavam has been well observed even by these great souls. So it is only a bound duty for us to follow their traditions, to worship them at the level that they are. Then the eighth Thirumurai is that of Manikavachakar, and it's a combination of Thiruvachakam and Thirukovayar. Thiruvachakam starts from Shivapuranam, wherein the Panchakshara Mantram is what is the key word that Manikavachakar has used to start his composition, Namachivaya Varga. He praises the Panchakshara Mantram and goes on with his various different topics. He is sung in 51 different titles in Thiruvachakam, and each of it is of a different poetic structure that he has followed. He's followed almost all the available different meter systems in Tamil literature and all the kind of setting a scene to sing. Like for example, he will consider Shiva to be seated on a swing and will start singing a song for Shiva to enjoy as he and Parvati swings there. And then he will probably see a small a wasp or a bee, honeybee, and request it to be a messenger to take all that love that he had for Shiva and take it over to Shiva and convey it to him. And he starts singing that. He sung about the koel bird. And so there are these kind of various genres that he has fixed for himself to render fantastic compositions that are extremely moving. And there are people who have learned the Tamil language to enjoy the Thiruvachakam alone. And that is why Thiruvachakam is put as a very, very celebrated bhakti literature and has been studied and translated in various languages across the world. So it's extremely moving again. And there are again songs where Nyanasambandar starts, Manikavachakar starts lamenting out and crying to Shiva to help him come out of these bonds and all that. But given the fact that he was blessed even before he started singing, and how he himself says that Meye un ponnadigal kandindru veedutren, he says, I've already attained the Shivajnana Mukti, because it was Parameshwara himself who appeared before him and blessed him with Nayana, Sparsha and the Tiruvadi Deekshas to help him start singing. So he has also fought with the Buddhists when he was there in Chidambaram. He spent a considerable part of his life in Chidambaram in the eternal service of Nataraja, because he went on to immerse in what is called as the Nataraja Tattvam in the Parakasha and became one there. So he is believed to be in the eternal service of Nataraja. So he has been there. He spent a considerable amount of his time when he was here in this world in Chidambaram, have composed several songs on Chidambaram in fact. While the Tevaram compositions are close to 10 odd padigams, 10 plus a few padigams on Chidambaram, a considerable part of Thiruvashagam and Thirukkovaya. Thirukkovayar is in fact completely dedicated to the Lord of Chidambaram, and mostly Thirukkovayar is another very tastefully done Prabandham composition by Manikavachakar, which is sung in 25 different titles, where Manikavachakar as Ajivatma considers himself to be in love with Parameshwara as the Nayaka there, and the Pati that he is. So this, the relationship that a Pati and his the Pashu shares, he compares or imagines or visualizes it more like the Lord there and his lady love, and composes songs expressing his love again. Now these are all way too philosophically deep and spiritually significant compositions, which are to be understood as interpreted by our acharyas and taken forward from there. That's with Manikavachakar, and as it accepted yesterday, it's a vast ocean, and I fail as a person to fish out one particular song to sing out the greatness. So, I leave it to you to learn from your acharyas. The ninth Tirumurai is a compilation of 9 different authors. It's generally called as Tiru Isaippa and Tiru Palland, 2 titles that are compiled by 9 different authors. You have Tirumaligai Thevar, Chendanar, who is a very popular devotee of Nataraja, Karuvur Thevar, Poondurthi Nambi Kada Nambi, Kandaradithar, the great Chola king who ruled a couple of generations before Rajaraja Chola. He himself was a dedicated Chola king. He was a great devotee of Nataraja at Chidambaram again. He was one of those many kings who got the Chitsabai hall gold-plated for its roof. And so he has sung a set of songs on Nataraja, which is also a part of the Tirumurai, the 9th Tirumurai. Then you have Vena Tadigal, Tiruvali Amudanar, Purushottama Nambi and Chedirayar. These are the 9 different authors who have sung on several new temples also. Like for example, Karur Thevar has sung 2 compositions, 2 different Thiruvisaippas, one on the Brihadishwara temple, or Rajarajeshwaram as it was called when it was constructed by the great Rajaraja, the Chola king Rajaraja. And he has also sung about Gangaikonda Choleeshwaram, the temple that was built by his illustrious son Gangaikonda Cholan or Rajendra Chola in the place called Gangaikonda Cholapuram. So temples like Tiruloki and more have been sung about by the divine compositions of these 9 authors. And Chendanar of course had sung a Tirupallandu for Nataraja, and we know how the temple chariot of Chidambaram temple got struck, and how Nataraja's divine command echoed to invite Chendanar, who was there, one among the lakhs of devotees gathered there, and a special darshan for him was given by Nataraja, only for him to sing the Tirupallandu compositions, and how the chariot that was struck without moving started rolling once again. So the 9th Tirumurai has various different compositions by 9 different authors on many different shrines that are first brought in by them. Then the 10th Tirumurai is the most ancient work of all the Tirumurais as accepted by our acharyas. It is the Tirumantram of Tirumooladeva Nayanar. Now he is one of the 63 saints, and Sundaramurthiyar celebrates him as Nambiran Tirumoolan, which means our most revered, our most celebrated Tirumoolan. So he is like the leader to the complete sect of devotees, is who Tirumoolar is. He is a practitioner of yogic traditions of Ashtanga Yoga. He was trained to an extent where he could you know, he could visualize the soul and the body as different entities, and he could in fact travel through his atma into another body and come back again and all. So these are extreme schools of yoga which can be managed by becoming a master of various siddhis and the Ashtanga yoga and the Siddhi yogas and all that, and he was a master of it. So he is also considered as one of the 18 Siddhas, where the Siddha tradition in Tamil Nadu. So he is that illustrious Tirumular who has composed not one or two or 100 but 3000 different songs, compiled into 9 different tantrams or 9 different chapters. Now each of the tantram has a list of topics that it details out into, not getting into the details again, but they are all named likewise. So you have the 9 tantras where the set of 3000 songs by him have been composed. Tirumantram can be rightly called as the most authoritative book, which very clearly speaks about the agamas, the Siddhanta tradition, difference between the Vedanta and Siddhanta tradition, and the grammar of Pashu, Pati and Pasam, and the 3 different impurities that causes all the suffering that one endures, the ways to come out of it, the roles of a guru, falling at the feet of a guru and accepting him as Parameshwara himself, role of Shakti, the various different mantras and more. The first tantram in fact is dedicated to philosophical views and his divine experience as a Shiva yogi himself, and how in the physical body is not what the truth is. The Atma is what is to be, or the Jeevan inside, the Veer inside is what is to be understood and worried upon by the human beings that we are, and how the body is nothing but a dress that decorates it, and it will shed any time, and the cycle, to come out of the cycle of life and birth and all that. The nature of love that is propagated through Shaiva traditions, and Jnana and all that is covered in the first tantram. And the second tantram speaks about the greatness of Shiva, the 8 valorous acts of Shiva, and the spiritual inner meaning of these 8 valorous acts. Like for example, if you consider Tripura Dahanam as burning down to ashes the 3 compounded cities of the 3 asuras, it is interpreted as Shiva's blessings that burns down the 3 impurities. Anavam, Kanma and Maya as the most prominent impurities that causes all the sufferings that we are enduring. So these are spiritual interpretations which are detailed out, speaking about the 8 valorous acts of Shiva, and classification of different souls depending on their amount of maturity, all that is there. And then the third tantram speaks about yoga practices according to the Ashtanga yoga school, starting from Yama, Niyama and the asanas. So one at a time, pranayama, and finally to dhyana and yoga. So the different phases that one goes through, the traditions that you follow in each phase, the amount of enlightenment that you get in the end of each phase, how it has got to be a continuous process to attain Mahasamadhi in the end of it. And this follows almost the same school of that of Patanjali's Ashtanga Yoga, and or called as Vasi Yoga. And this is completely governed by the inhalation process that one takes, used as a step to control your senses, bringing your senses and your sensory perceptions to a control to get into the samadhi, where you become, you immerse yourself in Shiva and you disappear there. Fourth level speaks about various mantras. A few of it also includes Shakta mantras like Panchadashakshari and Mahashodasi and all that, and how the 9 syllabled Navakshari mantram, and how it is used to attain siddhis based on Shakti, which is nothing but the power of Shiva and all that. And the fifth tantram speaks about various different schools of Shaiva, and the Vashapata schools and the different schools about which we will be seeing in our tomorrow's lecture, and more importantly the basic tenets of Shaiva Siddhanta philosophy. The sixth tantram is on the role of Guru, how Shiva is considered to be the prime Guru, the first Guru in fact, and how a Guru's benevolence and his blessings are enough for us to come out of this worldly bondages. And the seventh tantram speaks about worship of Shiva, the nature of Shivalingam and all that. That's why I say Tirumular himself says that this is how the greatness of Agamam is, and he interprets Agamam for us to understand more easily, and to before venturing into knowing about the Jnana Bhagam and others of the Agama, he has brought it out as an essence and interpreted it in Tamil for us to understand. And the eighth tantram is about the stages of maturity that a soul gets through as it experiences different levels in his or her in its spiritual progress. And finally, about the Panchadasara mantram and Shiva's cosmic dance and the state of samadhi and how you disappear in Shiva and you become one, and you know the nature that one achieves at that level. That's about the 10th Tirumurai. The 11th Tirumurai again is authored by 12 authors, of which one is none but the god of Madurai, Thiru Alavayudaya. So you know, without him it is like 11 authors who are devotees, and the 12th author, or in fact his work is put at the first of the 11th Tirumurai, so it's none but Shiva himself. And the other authors includes Karaikal Ammayar, Sheraman Perumal Nayanar, Pattinathu Pillaiyar, Nakkirar, Kabilar, Nambiyandar Nambi, Ayyadigal Kadavarkon, Kallada Devar, Paranar, Ilamberman Adigal, Adiravadigal. Now out of these, Karaikal Ammayar, Sheraman Perumal, Ayyadigal Kadavarkon are all Nayanmars themselves. Then you have Kapilar, Baranar, Nakkirar, who all get classified as the Poyyadimayillada Pulavargal, the poets who do not sing, who do not celebrate human beings, who do not compare them with other devas and all that. They don't sing any lies to earn money or fame, but they sing only the praise of Shiva. In fact, one of the Sangam works, one of the 18 Sangam works, Thirumurugatrupadai, which speaks about the 6 revered shrines of Muruga, is a part of the 11th Tirumurai as such. So it's another composition of many authors. In Karaikal Ammayar's works, you have Thiruvalangattu Thirupadigam, Mootha Thirupadigam, Thiru Irattai Manimalai, Arpudha Thiruvandadi. These four topics that are a part of it, where she has sung about the divine darshan of Shiva that she got when she went into Thiruvalangattu, and how Shiva danced in the cremation ground to be surrounded by the Bhutas and Vedalam and all that. So she sings in detail about it. In fact, very picturesque description is what I would call it. Just going by those poems, one can actually paint a canvas, which is because the compositions are that detailed. And so that is the four titles where she had sung about. And the Nakkirar, Kabilar and Baranar, as I told you, they are like the Poyyadimai Illada Pulavargal, who had sung about without any lies. They only sung the praise of Shiva. And then apart from that, that of Sheraman Perumal Nayanar, the great friend of Sundaramurthy, he had sung about the Thiruvarur temple as a Mummani Kovai. Mummani Kovai is a compilation of songs grouped into three songs each. Each of the three will follow a separate meter prescribed in the Tamil grammar to compose songs. So there is one Mummani Kovai that he has sung on Thiruvarur, the Thiruvarur Mummani Kovai. And then you have Ponvanna Thandadi, and most importantly, Thirukkailaya Jnana Ula. That is the travelogue that speaks about the journey that he, along with Sundaramurthy Nayanar, did on from Thiruvanjikalam, from the seashores of Thiruvanjikalam to Kailasham. And in fact, it is a very special work because it was Shiva and Parvati and all the other Ganas there stood as audience for Sheraman Peruman to sing it in front of him when they went there. And then you have Ayyadigal Kadavarkon, another Nayanmar. He is a Kadavarkon, which means he was a Pallava king. Kadavas are the Pallavas. So he is one of the Pallava kings, and he has compiled a Venba set of poems singing on covering various different temple towns. Starting from Tillai, he sings about several temples, and one Venba. Venba is another meter, a structured meter format for composing songs in Tamil. So he sung on many different shrines, so it's called as Kshetra Venba. And then you have Pattinathar and Nambiyandar Nambigal and all of them. Nambiyandar Nambigal is the person who compiled the 11 Tirumurais. That's how it is discussed in Umapati Shivacharya's work. So he has also composed songs on various compositions on Jnana Sambandhar. And there is one work by one more work in Padinoram Tirumurai, the 11th Tirumurai, which speaks about Kannappa Nayanar, and works on Appar Peruman. So about all these devotees, and as we know, these devotees are treated at par with Parameshwara himself. The works that celebrate these devotees becomes a part of the Tirumurais also. So this is about the 11th Tirumurai, where various poets, again 11 poets, and Shiva himself as the 12th poet have composed. So the first poem, or the Tirumuga Pasuram, or the introductory note, is that of Shiva. That is in fact a beautiful letter that he has asked, asking the king of Chera country to financially support Panabhatra, a musician who was there in Madurai. So he in fact sends a note telling, this person is from my country, and I command you to help him financially. So that note is also made as the introductory part, as the first work in the 11th Thirumurai. Coming on to the 12th Thirumurai, the most venerated Periya Puranam, or Thiruthondar Puranam, as named by Shekidar Periman. Shekidar Periman was born in Kundrathur, a place near Chennai, and he belonged to the Saiva Veldala community, who went on to become a minister under the imperial Cholas around the 12th century. It is believed that he was forced to compose this, or the divine act which commanded him to compose this was the Chola king Kulothunga, who was the king then, was immersed in works like Sivaka Chintamani, Jain works, Tamil classics again, which speaks about venturing into physical pleasure in the world. In fact, that particular work speaks about the hero getting married to 8 different women and the pleasures that he enjoyed and all that. So the king seemed to have immersed himself in pleasures which are very bodily and physical. So in order to bring him out of it, because a ruling king should not get low like that, and on the other hand, he should focus more on dharmic traditions. So to remove, to move him out of it and bring him into the dharmic traditions, Shekidar Periman started into this venture of composing songs which details out the biography of these Nayanmars. So Periya Puranam is one of the greatest classics in Indian languages, I would in fact say. It is undoubtedly one of the greatest classics in Tamil works that have ever come. A very lengthy work which speaks about the great devotees of Shiva. And here again, the first word, like how Tyagaraja Swami commanded the first phrase for Sundaramurthy Nayanar to start singing the greatness of devotees, here again, the first word, Ulagelam, was suggested by Nataraja as a divine echo for him to compose his works. So the text starts with Ulagelam as the first word and ends again with Ulagelam. So he sings, he offers the prayers to Nataraja in the opening compositions, speaks about the divine cosmic dance that he performs in the Shitrambalam, and worships him, then worships the audience who have gathered around when he started presenting the work. Then he gets into singing a kind of a foreword. Now the whole Periya Puranam is beautifully composed at a literary level. It's wonderfully composed, like a storyboard, to start with an introduction and, you know, thanking people who have, you know, paved way to for the work to come, and singing about the greatness of Kailasha Parvatam, the Chola country. And when he had to sing about the greatness of one sacred river, he sings about Kaveri. And when he had to choose on one sacred town, he sings the greatness of Thiruvarur Mahakshetram. So he sings about Thiruvarur because Thiruvarur was the venue that was chosen by Parameshwara to make Sundara sing about the greatness of the devotees. So he speaks about that, and he chooses Manunidhi Cholan, one of those traditional Chola kings who lived by the tradition of, who lived by all the commands of Dharma. And he sings about him and how Manunidhi Chola didn't compromise on Dharma at any level, and finally went on to be blessed by Shiva and entered Kailasha and his minister and all of them. So that is also detailed out, the story of Manunidhi and the cow and the calf and all that. And then he goes into singing about Sundaramurthy's journey to Kailasha and how it was envisioned by Upamanyu and his Sishyas who were there in Kailasha, speaking, I mean, when Upamanyu was delivering sermons on the greatness of Shiva, and how they envisioned Sundaramurthyar as a growing brilliant ball of flame entering Kailasha, and not knowing what it was, his disciples ask him about it, because Upamanyu, prostrated by the very vision of that the ball of glowing fire that was going in, and his disciples asked him as to what it was. So he starts using that as a chance, more like a sutradhari. Shekidar describes Upamanyu's delivery of the greatness of Sundara, and comes to the episode where Viranminder stopped Sundara from entering the temple before prostrating to the devotees, and starts detailing out the greatness of each of the devotee from the Dikshitas of Chidambaram. And each of the first line of each of the song in Thiruthondar Thogai is used as the chapter name in each of, that's the chapter name. So in each song, Sundara would have sung about 6 or 7 devotees. So they are all there. The elaboration of each of their life history is brought under each of the chapter. So it goes on like that, and finally sings about Sundara entering into Kailasha and the greatness of devotees, and finishes the work. It's one of the most celebrated classics at a religious and at a literary level, And it is to be understood that it is one of the greatest research works. In fact, if you think, Thiruthondar Thogai of Sundaramurthiyar's is more like a synopsis. Nambiyandar Nambi elaborated it into a monograph, and Periyavaranam is one of the greatest research publications that was brought out as a scholarly research manual by Shekhar, because he has documented social life, history, names, the genealogy and the community history, place of birth and place where they attained Paragati and all that of each of these Nayanmars. And some of them have lived a good 1,000 years before the times of Shekhar. I wonder what helped him, or I mean what forced him, but for the divine command of Parameshwara, to venture into it as a divine act. So this is again why these great saints are all put at par with Shiva himself, and all their classics are worshipped because they are not words of these saints who were here, but those of Parameshwara himself. These are all nothing but Pativakyam, as they are to be celebrated. So the compilation from Thiruthondar Thogai to Thiruthondar Puranam to Thiruvandadi to Thiruthondar Puranam. So the journey of how the life history of these Nayanmars were documented. Now that is in probably smaller than a nutshell, an introduction to the 12 Thirumurais authored by various different authors. You have the Tevaram authors, they are followed by Manikavachagar, followed by 9 different authors who have gone on to make the 9th Thirumurai. Then you have Thirumular Thirumantram, followed by 12 authors, of whom Shiva himself is one, to compile the works into the 11th Thirumurai, finally Periyapuranam of Shekhar. So this is the special feature, because it was none but Parameshwara who is believed to be the author, who from within helped them compose these songs. And out of several thousand sung by the Tevaram Prayo especially, we have only managed a few hundreds, but that is what is believed to be the grace of Shiva for us, and we should study it, chant it, learn and chant it, and use that as a way to express our devotion to Shiva too. It's extremely moving and good enough to help a soul season itself, mature to a next level, and venture into the following steps in their spiritual progression. With that, I finish today's session. Tomorrow we'll be discussing about various different schools of Shaivam before getting into more detailed philosophical aspects of Siddhanta Shaivam. So I'll be speaking about few popular schools, their historic evolution, their acharyas, the pramanas or the works that they consider their own authority, and where it is popular, and a few rituals probably. Thank you for being there for today's session. Namaskaram. Ponnum meiporulum tharuvanai, bogamum thiruvum punarpanai, pinnai en pidagai poruppanai, pidagalam thavira panippanai, inna tanmayan endru ariyavunna emmanai, elivanda viranai, annam vaihum vayal palanattu, ani aaruranai marakkalumame. வாழ்க அந்தனர் வானவரானினும் வீழ்க தன்புணல் வேந்தனும் ஓங்குக ஆழ்க தீயதெல்லாம் அரண்நாமமே சூழ்க வையகமும் துயர்தீரவே. வான்முகில் வழாது பெய்க மலிவளம் சுரக்க மன்னன் கோன்முறை அரசு செய்க குறைவிலாது உயிர்கள் வாழ்க நான்மறை அறங்கள் ஓங்க நர்த்தவம் வேள்வி மல்க மேன்மைக்குள் சைவநீதி விளங்குக உலகமெல்லாம் மூர்த்தியெல்லாம் வாழி எங்கள் மோன குருவாழி அருள் வார்த்தை என்றும் வாழி அன்பர் வாழி பராபரமே எல்லாம் ஸ்ரீ தியாகராஜ கிருபை ஸ்ரீ தியாகராஜ மகாராஜோ விஜயத்தை ஆரூரா தியாகேசா.